We're holding on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph by the Mishnah, by the first Mishnah. Mishnah says, Mashbiani Aleichem, the person says to the potential Edim, I'm beswearing you, I'm like Tavoy Vitayduni, if you don't come and testify for me, Sha'omar Ish Ploini Litany Mosayim Zuz Voy Nosan. That Ploini said that he's going to give me 200 Zuz, and he didn't give me. So now he wants to, so Edim were present when Shimon said to Reuven, I owe you, I'm going to give you $100, and now Reuven wants to come to them and that they should testify for him. If they deny the Edus and swear falsely, they're potter from the Korban, she'en chayavan al atvias moment kepikodin, because they're chayav only when there's a claim of money like a pikodin, the kind that would be mechayav him and based him. In this kind of case, if, even if the Edim came, Shimon wouldn't be on the hook to pay, because just saying that I'm going to give you money doesn't constitute a requirement to give it to him. If he said, I owe it to you, that would be different. If they'd seen the actual loan or something like that, that would be different. But just to say, I'm going to give you money is not binding, and therefore, even if the Edim come and testify to that in Beis Din is not going to require Shimon to pay, therefore, there's no Tvias Mammon over here. Okay? Another case. Mashbiani Aleichem, suppose the person says to the Edim in advance, I'm beswearing you, Kisha Teduli Edus, when you know in the future Edus about me, Shatavoyu Vitayduni, that at that point you'll come and say Edus on my behalf, and they don't do that, and they swear falsely, etc. Harei Lepturim, then they're also potter from the Korban, Mipnesha Kodma Shvuah LaEdus, because the Shvuah came before the Edus, and as the Gemara is going to show us from a pasuk, it has to be that first they saw the Edus, and then they swear falsely that they didn't know it. Whereas here it's the other way around. Another case, Omar B'Veis HaKnesses, suppose that the guy stands in shul, the Omar, and he calls out, Mashbiani Aleichem, I am beswearing you, meaning anybody here that's in the, Kehillah, that's in the Tzibur, she'imakim yodim li edus, that if you know any edus on my behalf, she'tavoyu v'teyiduni, that you will come and testify for me, and two of them, or whatever, whichever ones of them later on deny and swear falsely, etc. So harei l'pturin, then they're also potter, adjihim miskaven lahem, it has to be that he's miskaven to them specifically, he has to refer to them specifically, not just generally that he's standing there in shul and saying anybody. What about another case, Omer l'shnayim, if he says to two people, Mashbiani aleichem ish ploini uploini, I'm beswearing you, ploini and ploini, she'im atem yodim li edus, that if you know edus for me, she'tavoyu v'teyiduni, that you're going to come and testify, and they reply, shvur she'inon yodim l'cha edus, now they reply the shvur that they don't know the edus, now so far, if there weren't any more details, that would be classic shvur edus. But let's say, behem yodim lo edus eid mi pi eid, suppose they do know the Edus, but it's only hearsay. They heard it from somebody else. Now hearsay is possible Edus. So therefore, it's not going to work anyway. Or one of them was a relative or possible Edus. And then they're also potter from Shvuos Edus, because it has to be that their Edus would have been valid in Beis Din. And if they come to Beis Din and say their testimony is ABP aid, is hearsay, then Beis Din would throw out their Edus anyway and not listen to them. And if they're Kodav Apostle, then also Beis Din wouldn't pay any attention to their Edus, and therefore, again, you don't have the whole point of Shavuos Edus is where they would have been Mechayev Momon with their Edus, and now because their Edus itself is no good, then therefore there's nothing to talk about as far as the Shavuos Edus. Now, Tosfos points out already at the beginning of the parak we learned that Shavuos Edus applies only to those who are Roy Lahoid. So why do we need to mention over here again that they're Korev Apostle and it doesn't work? So Tosfos says, let's say, for example, there are three Edim. Two of them are kosher. One of them is a Korev Apostle. Well, as we've learned previously in Makkos, Edus Shabbatal Mitzasa Batla Kola. If part of an Edus is canceled, the whole thing is canceled. So once one of them is a Korev Apostle, then even though there are two other ones who are not Korevim Upsulim, and they could have testified, but the fact is they were all a group of three Edim, and therefore one of them is Apostle, and therefore it passels the whole Edus, and now the other two are off the hook as far as the Korban for Shavuos Edus as well. So the Ramban also points out, even let's say, for example, you could have here's another case as well. We learned in Sanhedrin, you can have a case where, even though, of course, Kurivim or Psulim are Apostle Eders, but you can have a case where the Baal Din say, you know what, I'm willing on a voluntary basis to accept this person who otherwise would have been Apostle because of being a relative or otherwise Apostle, I'm willing to accept them as an aid, and if they come and testify, then fine, I'm willing to pay based on their Eders. Ne'mon and Olai Abba, Ne'mon and Olai Avicha is the expression over there. So you would think that in that case. So in other words, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven says, Shimon, you owe me $100. Shimon denies it. But Shimon says, you know what, Reuven, if you can bring any two Edom, I don't care if they're Kurivim or Psulim, then fine, I'm willing to pay based on their Eders. So now you would think, therefore, that they have a valid Eders based on that agreement. Let's say there's a Kenyan involved, whatever. But nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us that still they're not subject to Shavuos HaEdros because they do have to be intrinsically Koshel HaEdros, not just like in this case where it's just based on his say-so. Another case, Sholach Biad Avdoi, suppose the Tevea sent a message with his slave or somebody else to be swear to aid him. Or it's not the Teveya, the claimant, but rather the Nitba, the defendant, who comes and tells them, you know what, I'm beswearing you that if you know Eidos on his behalf, that you come and testify on his behalf. They have to hear it directly from the Teveya. So as far as an Eved, now we learned yesterday that if we said that a Shliach doesn't work, and the point is, in other words, the point is even an Eved, where usually we often say that Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi, that the slave's hand and his possession is considered like the possession of his Rebbe, but nevertheless here it's different, because the Torah says it has to be from the Teveah. As we learned yesterday, if he has a Hashah, if he has an official power of attorney, that he's able now to go and take the case to Beis Din, then he would be able to be swear the Edim, because once he has that Hashah, then it means that he himself is a Baal Din, and therefore that therefore he can in fact be swear the Edim. And then there would be Chayav for Shavuos Edus. So the Gemara goes through the things we said in the Mishnah, turn around, Bonan. We learn in a brayso, the first case of the Mishnah, Mashbi'ani Aleichem, where he says, I beswear you, imloy tavoy v'teiduni, sh'omer ish ploini lichmi masayim zuz v'loy nosan, that if you don't come and testify for me, that ploini said he's going to give me 200 zuz and he didn't give, yocho yu chayoven, you would think that they would be chayev, and we said they're not chayev for Shavuos HaEdros, because even if they came to Beis Din and testified to that, Beis Din would not require the guy they're testifying about, Shimon, to pay, because you don't make a person pay just because he said, I'm going to give you money. So how do we know that? Talmud Lema, techta, l'gzeira shava. So you have the word techta for l'gzeira shava in connection with this, and in connection with Shavuos HaPikadon, we talked about yesterday, and two days ago, we had a braisa that quoted four different opinions, how we know that the whole concept of Shavuos HaEdros and the korban for it applies only when there's a tvias mamon, and we had the opinion of Reb Shimon that you have a gzeira from the word sechta. So our braisa is going according to that opinion. We mentioned also, actually, that Yerba Eliezer also, who has a different Gzeder Shava, he also uses the Gzeder Shava from Sechta as well to help back it up. Anyway, so now we have the Gzeder Shava. Nemakan Sechta, v'nemalahalan Sechta, malahalan v'tvias momen v'yeshloi. Now, just like by Shavuos HaPikadon, the definition is there is a tvia, there's a claim, and there's a valid claim where if the claim turns out to be true, then the other guy will have to pay. For example, Reuven says to Shimon, I deposited a pikadin by you, where is it? And Shimon claims that it was lost or stolen or whatever, and if he doesn't swear, he's gonna have to pay. And the same thing with all the other cases of Shavuos. So, Aftan, the Tvias Mammon, V'yeshloi, the same way over here, for the Edim to be Chayav, for Shavuos HaEdros, has to be where there's a claim of money, and where there would be, where he would get it, if the aid on the basis of the Edom's testimony, and here you don't have that, for just saying that he said he's going to pay me is not a valid basis. So to be mechayev him money, so therefore they're not chayev for the korban for their Shavuos HaEdros. Okay? The Mishnah had said, "Mashbi'ani aleichem k'shekedu li'edus chula." We said that if he says, "I'm beswearing you," if he beswears them in advance, that if in the future they know edus for him, and that they'll come and testify, and then they accept that shavua, and then later on they don't come and testify, so then they're also kalter. Turn on bottom. We learn in a brisa, "Mashbi'ani aleichem k'shekedu li'edus shetavoyu v'teidu." Yochu yu chayoven. You would think they're chayef the shavua say edus. No, tamad leimar v'shama koil ola. And the pasuk says he hears the sound of an oath, v'hu aid, and he is an aid, oy ra oy yada, or he sees or he hears, which as we learned previously, seeing and hearing mean he can see, means for example that he can see the money changing hands, but he doesn't know what the purpose of it was, whether it was a halva or repayment of a loan, etc. And similarly, vice versa, where they can know because there was a haidah without them knowing what the basis of the haidah was. Whatever the case, the point is that since the pasuk phrases it like this, that he had previously seen or known, that means who aid oy ra oy yada. That means mishakodma edus l'shvur. It has to be the edus came before the shvur, and then at the time of the shvur, there was already ra or yada. The loy shekodma shvur the edus, not like in this case where the shvur comes before the edus, and therefore they're potter from shvur the edus in this case. Next. The Mishnah had said, Omad Bebesa Knesset, that if he stood in shul, or any place where there's gathering, Bepashtos, we're just using a shul as an example, but Omar, and he says, Mashbi'ani Aleichem, I'm beswearing you collectively, anybody who knows, that if you know Eidos, then, and later on, the people who do know the Eidos deny it, etc., then they're potter, because he had to say, Adshe Meskaven Lahem, as the Mishnah had said, he has to specifically be addressing them. So the Gemara says, "Omar Shmuel, Afilu Edim Benehem." That would apply even if the actual Edim are in that crowd in the shul. So the Gemara says, "Pshita." Well, isn't that obvious? The whole point is the Mishnah is saying we're talking about that he addressed the crowd and didn't address them specifically. So what is Shmuel adding to what we already know? And the answer is, "Loit Sricha Dekoy Ilavayu." Let's say the Edim happened to be standing in front, right in front of him. Mao Detema Commander Omalahu Domi. So you would think that already is considered like he's speaking directly to them because they're right there in the front row. Kamash Malan, therefore, Shmuel wants us to know that it's not so. So even then, it doesn't work because he has to actually say specifically to them. So the Gemara says, "Tani nami hachi." We learn similarly in Brisa. Ross sees shabbanei adam oimdin. Suppose he saw a group of people standing, the edim beinehen, and the edim were in that group. So he says to them, "Mashbi'ani aleichem, I'm beswearing you, the whole group collectively." And we're talking about again where there's a crowd standing in front of him, and Rashi points out we have to be talking about where he's standing in front of them. So we're not talking about where he sees them from a distance. We're talking about he's right in front of them, or even among them. The Eidah Beinayan, the Eidim are among them. But Omar Lahen, he says to all of them, "Mashbi'ani Aleichem, I'm beswearing you all, any of you, Imatim Yodinli Eidos, that if you know Eidos on my behalf, Shatavoyu Vatayjuni, that you should come and testify on my behalf." And now they accept the Shavua, but then they don't come and testify. Yochu Yu Chayov, and you would think they're Chayav. Tamad Loima, no, the Pasuk says, "Vahu Eid," the Pasuk says, and he is an aid. So that implies that the Edim have to be singled out. Varela Yichud Edim, he didn't single out who were the actual Edim. Yochel Afila Omer Kol Oimnim Kan. Now you would think, what if he says anybody who's standing over here? Then in the first case he says Aleichem, you collectively. Now he says everyone who's standing here and the Edim are actually standing here near him. So you would think that then also they're potter. No, Talmud Lema Vahu Eid Vayri Yichud Edim. No, because it says Vahu Eid, and there he did single out as Edim. So in other words, So here you have some of them are actually standing near him. So then, therefore, they are the ones who are included in the Shavuos Eidos. And if later on they deny it, etc., then they are going to be chayav for the korban. So there is actually the Ritva says, and then the Torah Chaim touches out in greater detail and explains that there are different shitta. Now Rashi, in other words, is saying that we're talking about that all of them are standing that all of them are standing here. So now when he says kol ha'omdim kan, he says everyone who's standing over here. Well, then it means the ones who are actually standing close to him are the ones that yichid, are the ones that he singled out. So now the Ritva says more briefly and Teres Chaim explains in more detail that if he says stam, then it doesn't necessarily mean he means anybody in particular. But on the other hand, if he says kol ha'omdim kan, he actually means anybody in this group who means all of this group. I'm be swearing, and therefore, if the Edom are in that group, then in fact they are going to be chayev. So the proof of that for Shmuel, though, would be, because the point is that in the Mishnah we said, and Shmuel explained, we're talking about that if he's in Shul and just makes an announcement from the Bimah or something, and he's not actually near the Edim, well then, in that case, then Shmuel is saying he's Potter, and we ask Pshita, so that there also, the difference is whether he actually mentions the people standing here, and they're close to him, or versus whether we just mean that he says generically any of you. Okay? Then we said in the Mishnah, Omer l'shnayim ha'shvi'ani aleichem, we said if he says two of them, I'll be swearing you, and one of them is a kohen or apostle, or whatever. So at Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa the basis for this din of the Mishnah. Omer l'shnayim, if he says to two people, mashvi'ani aleichem ploini or ploini, I'm beswearing you, and he names them ploini and ploini, imatim yodim li'edos, if you know edos on my behalf, shetavoyu v'teyduni, that you should testify on my behalf. Now, v'hein yodim li'edos, they do know the edos, but it's ed mipi'ed, it's by hearsay, o shehoya echaman karev apostle, or one of them was a karev or apostle, yochu yuchayovin, you would think they're chayev, tamad leimat, no, the pasuk says, im lo yagin v'nasa avonin. The pasuk says, if he doesn't say the Eidos, then he will bear his guilt, meaning, b'ru'uyin la'agoda, akos medaba, so the pasuk is talking specifically where the roi to give Eidos and based in, so therefore not a kor of apostle, and again, the chiddush of that part is according to Tosfos, even if we have, let's say, we have three or more Eidim, where and two of them are kosher, but one of them is a kohen apostle. And according to the Ramban, the chiddush is that even if the Baal Din accepted them on a one-off basis as Edim, nevertheless, the fact is intrinsically they're not valid Edim. Okay? The Mishnah had said the last case, Sholach Biad Avde Vichola, that if he sent the message to be swear them with his Eved, so we said that the Nitzbah himself comes and tells them, then no good. In order for them to be Chayef for Shavuosa Eidos, it has to be that the Tzedeya be swore them. So, Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, Sholach Biad Avde, Hashem Alan Anitba Mashviani Aleichem, Sheimatim Yodim Loy Eidos, that if you know Eidos on his behalf, Shetavoyu Vitehidur, that you should Vitehidur, you should come and testify for him, Yochu Yuchayovin, you would think that they're chayev the korban for shavuos ha'edus. Nope. Tamad leimayim la yagav in asa avayne. The pasuk says, if he doesn't say, then he will bear his guilt. Now, the braisa doesn't explain how, unlike all the other ones where it's obvious from the lashon ha'pasuk, how we learn the din, here it's not so obvious. How does im lo yagav in asa avayne come to mean specifically that if he has to hear it from the tevea? So the gemara says, my talmuda, how exactly are we learning from that pasuk? The answer is Omer Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lozer, it's probably supposed to be Rabbi Eliezer as a Tana, but he were talking about an Amora explaining it. Anyway, Im Loy Yagid, see, the Pasuk says, Im Loy Yagid, and the word is written in the Pasuk, Lamed Vav Aleph. Now, usually Loy, as in no, would be written Lamed Aleph. So here you have a Vav in the middle of it. Therefore, we can darshan that it means it's both. It's Loy to him and Loy Al, and Loy not, with a Vav and with a Vav or with an Aleph. Im Loy Yagid, see, with a Vav and with an Aleph, Im Loy Yagid, if to him himself, to the Tevea, he does not say the Eidos, meaning in response to him swearing or being besworn about the Eidos, then if he doesn't speak up and say the Eidos, then he'll bear his guilt, implying the Im La'achar La Yagid, but if it's to somebody else, to an Eved, or shliach without a hasha, or the nitva that he swears, then potter, then the pasuk is implying that he's potter, because then you don't have the vav of im lo yagid. Okay. So in short, then, in order to be chayav for Shavuos Eidos, it has to be that the Teveya himself was beswearing them. It has to be that he mentions them specifically, and that they're kosher la'ed, or otherwise singles them out. For example, you who are standing in front of me, and it has to be that it's a matter of it has to be that it's a claim which would actually, it has to be that they're kosher la'edos, and it has to be a claim that would actually be mechayev mamon, as opposed to, for example, where he says that Pliny said he's going to give me 200 zuz. We're just saying that alone is not an actionable claim. Okay? Now, our Mishnah is going to describe how exactly the Shavuah can be taken. What exactly is the valid form of a Shavuah? So, Mashbi Ani Ani Aleichem. So, one way would be where he says, I am beswearing you. Or another Lashon would be Metzava Ani Aleichem. I am commanding you. Now, I'm commanding you doesn't seem to be a Shavuah. So, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Anyway, oiserchamani, or he says, I'm binding you, oiserchem is Moshan osir, but it's the word osir basically means bound up, tied up. Like you have, like the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that things that are off limits to us are called osir because they're tied up in the klippus. So oiserchamani means that I'm putting you under an iser, which is a Loshan of shur. So in all those cases, in those cases, as long as we have all the other criteria, then they're going to be chayav for shur seidus. On the other hand, now we're going to see in the Gemara that we're going to see actually the continuation of the Mishnah. There has to be a name of Hashem involved. So when we say Mashviani Aleichem or any of these other Lashonis, we mean that there's a Shavua involved. There has to be a Shavua involved. Whether there actually needs to be a name of Hashem involved is Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi, from Rashi it comes out, and then the Rambam similarly paskins that there does need to be either a name of Hashem or at least a kinui of Hashem, as we'll see soon. On the other hand, the Rashba explains the Loshon Mashbi Ani Aleichem B'Shavua or other Loshonis that amount to a Shavua are valid, those work as a Shavuos Eidos even without a name of Hashem. According to the Rashba, there would have to be a name of Hashem only if there's not a Lashon, only if there's not an explicit Lashon of Shavuah. Okay, the Mishnah continues, Vashemayim v'aretz, if he says, I'm beswearing you by heaven and earth, Harei l'pturin, then they're potter because heaven and earth are not names or nicknames of Hashem. We have to distinguish, as we're going to now in the rest of the Mishnah, and in the Gemara, we have to distinguish between actual names of Hashem, like Yudke Vovke, or like Kim, or whatever, versus and then we have nicknames of Hashem, like Rachum V'chanun, and things like that, but then you have Shemayim V'oretz are not names of Hashem. You could think that it means Hashem who rules over the heaven and the earth, but nevertheless not. The Rambam mentions in general, this gets into the question of this that we're saying that Rashi and the Rambam versus the Rashba argue about what about if the Shavua over here doesn't use Hashem's name, but it's a Lashon of Shavua, would it work or not? So again, Rashi and the Rambam hold that not, the Rashba holds that it would work. And then they would be chayiv for the korban. And this gets into a general question about, in general, a person says a shvuah, but not you, or curses somebody, not using Hashem's name, is he going to be chayiv for the issue of cursing somebody, and he's going to be chayiv for a shvuah? So you have actually, there is discussion about that. The Rambam holds that there is an issue even without using Hashem's name, and the Ravid says there's a difference between Shavuos Eidos and Shavuos HaPikadon do require Hashem's name, but a Shavuos Bitui does not. It's enough that he says a Lashon of a Shavuah. So when it comes to Shavuos Eidos, only the Rashba holds that it can work without a shame, but when it comes to other kinds of Shavuos, you have other Rishonim who hold that it could work without a shame as well. So the Mishnah continues. The Aleph Dalet, on the other hand, if he uses the name Adonai in his Shavuah, I'd be swearing you in the name of Adonai that you come testify for me, etc., or the Yudke, with Yudke Vavke, the Shakai, the Tzvokos, all of those are actual names of Hashem, or when he uses Kinuyim, so to speak, nicknames, descriptive terms about Hashem, the Chanun Verachum, the Erech Apayim, Verav Chesed, all of those are descriptive terms about Hashem. So then, any other kinui of Hashem. So then, harei l'chayav, and then they would be chayav if they violate the Shavuos Eidos. So in that connection also, La Halacha, names of Hashem, and other languages are also considered kinuyim. So God in English and Boch in Russian and so forth would also be examples of a kinuy like that. What about Hamakalal v'kulam chayev? What about if a person curses Hashem using any of these names? So then he'd be chayev misa, give it a mayor. That's what a mayor says. V'cham potter, and v'cham says potter, and only if he uses the name Yudke Vodke. We learned about this in Sanhedrin. We're going to learn about it more in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The Rambam actually holds that he'd be chayev actually not just for Yudke Vovke, but also for Adnai, also for cursing Hashem. Using the name Adnai, the Raivid disagrees. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. What about another case? Amakalal Atzmei V'chaveri V'kolod. If a person curses himself or curses somebody else with any of these names or any of these kinuyim, over V'loisa said, then he's over on a loisa said, because the Torah says you're not allowed to curse a yid. So even if he uses a kinuy, he says, for example, That Rachum V'chanan will strike you or whatever, then that would be considered cursing a fellow yid. So what happens if he doesn't use a name or a kinui of Hashem at all? Then you have again a machlokas rishonim whether there's an issur at all. Rashi elsewhere explains that when you have an issur in the Torah, it's a kalacherish, then it means that whether you're using Hashem's name or not, and a number of other Rishonim and Achronim hold the same way, so it's just a question of whether a person is chayiv malchus, where if he doesn't use Hashem's name. In fact, the Sefer Charedim was a proof. You have when Lavan is trying to get back his trofim, and Yaakov says, Ima sheyinsez of a kefa lo yichya, whoever you find your idols with will not live, and the result is from that klala, Rochel passed away, there's no mention of Hashem, Hashem's name at all, and yet Rachel passed away. So we see, in other words, that even a klala without Hashem's name at all is able to take effect. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Yonah holds that maybe it doesn't apply. There's no issue if he's not using Hashem's name. So in general, most poskim hold like the first opinion, and therefore you're not allowed to curse a yid even without Hashem's name. So if a person is cursing himself, then that's also, he's also cursing a yid, and he's not allowed to do that. There is an interesting point whether a person is allowed to tell other people that they can curse himself. There's an idea that Moshe writes in one of his tshuvas that to allow other people to curse him is that person is not allowed to curse himself because he's not allowed to hurt himself, and putting a curse on himself is going to cause that Hashem is going to do something bad to him, Rahman al-Aflan, and therefore he's not allowed to do that. But to have somebody else do it, so then he can forgive that it's really more a matter of embarrassment, and therefore he's allowed to have somebody do it for him. So that was a digression, but the point is, once we're mentioning this point about a Shavua Seedus, so we mentioned this relevance about using the name of Hashem or using a kinui in these other contexts as well. So now, getting back to the case of Shavua Seedus, what are more examples of a Shavua that would be considered Shavua Seedus? And by the way, Tosfos also points out, you know, when we're mentioning over here Aleph Dalad and Yud K, now apparently the idea was that Tosfos understands that when people were learning the Mishnah, they would actually spell out, they would say Yud and then Hey and then Vav and then Hey. So Tosfos wonders, aren't you not allowed to say the words of Hashem, the letters of Hashem's name, in lechelik b'mabah? But here Tosfos says he's not meaning to say the name of Hashem. He's just quoting the Mishnah, so therefore it would be mutter. L'maisa, we don't do that. With the Mishnah just in front of us says yud, and then hey. And as it is, we usually say yud k anyway. See. Next, the Mishnah continues. I skipped a line over here in the Mishnah. So I'm a kal v'kol and chayav divrei meir v'cham. You know, if a person curses somebody else with, if a person curses Hashem with any of them, he'd be chayav. Says Rav Meir v'cham says potter. I'm a kal of v'imay v'kol and chayav divrei meir v'cham. Also, if he curses his parents using any of these names, then he'd be chayav according to the Meir and according to the Chachamim. Only if he uses an actual name of Hashem, not a kinui. And then a makal atzma of a chaver to bekulin over beloisaseh, and if he curses himself or anybody else with any of them, then he's over on a loisaseh, as we just discussed. What about if he says to the Edim, Yakacha Hashem alekim? If he says, for example, one of the klolas in the Torah, for example, Hashem will strike you. I've got a number of them, Mephoshim on the side of it here, take out the word, or say it should be Yakacha Hashem or Yakacha Elikim. Agros Abach says it should be either one, Yakacha Hashem or Yakacha Elikim, and Agros Agro just takes out the word Elikim altogether. The point is, there's a quotation from a pasuk from the Kerchacha, Hashem will strike you. Meaning if you don't come and say the Edus for me. Or, for example, he says Yakacha or Yakachem Elikim. Zuhi Olach, so about Torah, that would be an example of a curse that it says in the Torah, and therefore that would be a valid Shavuos Eidos, and now if they go and then don't give the Eidos based on that, then they're going to be chayav for the korban. What about if he says to the Edim, Al Yakach Hashem? What about if he says Hashem should not strike you, meaning, and he goes on to say, if you do, come and say Edus for me, or the Yivarechacha, or he says Hashem should bless you if you come and testify for me, the Yekiv Lacha, or he should do good for you if you testify for me. Now, in each of these cases, there's an implied negative. Hashem should not strike you if you come and testify for me. That seems to imply, and if you don't come and testify, that Hashem should strike you. And the same thing with all the other ones. Rav Meir Mechayev, Rav Meir says that in all those cases, he would be Chayev, that in all those cases, it would be a valid Shavuos Eidos, but Chum Potter and the Chum say the Eidim would be Potter, because that's not the Rav Meir holds Miklal Lav Ata Shemeir Hain. Once you have the one side of it, then you can infer the other side of it, but and the Chacham hold you can't do that when it comes to Shavuos Eidos. And Rashi explains as far as the Yakach Hashem and all that, we're talking about, let's say he's reading the Klolos in the Torah, and he turns to the Edim and he says, now, based on what I just read, Yakach Hashem, then similarly, Hashem should strike you if you don't testify on my behalf. Then if that's considered an Ola, that's considered a curse, it says at the end, the Torah calls it, the curses of the covenant, and therefore those are valid Shavuos Eidos. But when he says that Hashem should not strike you if you testify, etc., Rav Meir says, because Miklal Lav Ata Shemeir Hain, and the Chum agree with that. Does that mean the Chachamim in general don't hold of the concept of Miklal Lav Ata Shemeir Hain? Tosfos discusses maybe not, that maybe in fact the Chachamim do not hold maybe the Chachamim do not hold at all of the concept of Miklal Lav Ata Shemeir Hain. On the other hand, the Ramban says, sure, they usually agree with that for here, where the Pasuk says, from a Kol Ola, so there has to be an explicit Ola, not just where you can infer it from something else that he said. Tosfos actually wonders, by the way, but we're saying that if there's a shvuah without an ola, then it works, but how do we know that an ola by itself should work? We're saying Yakach Hashem is only an ola, there's only a curse, there's no, on the face of it, there's no shvuah over there, so Tosfos wonders how we know that it works, but nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying that the fact is that it does. So the Gemara starts off. We said Mashbi'ani, so the Mishnah said Mashbi'ani Aleichem, that if he says, I'm beswearing you, and he says Mashbi'ani Aleichem, Metzave'ani Aleichem, or Oseuchemani. The question is, so we said that all of those are a valid form of Shavua, and therefore now the Edim are going to be on the hook for Shavua Se'edus. If they don't testify, so the question is, so Mike Omar, what does the Tana mean? If he just says a loshen mitzave ani aleichem, or sercham ani aleichem, and there's no shrua, that's not a shrua seidus. So the answer is, Omar of Yehuda Haki Kamar. The Mishnah means like this. The Tana means like this. Mashbi ani aleichem b'shvua hamu b'Torah. If he says to them, I am beswearing you using the shvua that it says in the Torah. Or mitzava ani aleichem b'shvua hasur b'Torah. He says, I'm commanding you using the commandment that it says in the Torah. Namely, what commandment where the pasuk says by parshas where the pasuk says by parshas Nedarim where it says Eila Hamitzvos. Goes Habach changes it because Eila Hamitzvos doesn't say in connection with Nedarim in parshas Matos doesn't say Eila Hamitzvos, but rather Goes Habach says what it should be is Eila Chukim Asher Tzivah Hashem at the end of that section at the beginning of parshas Matos. It says that lashon, so we see that Asher Tzivah Hashem is mentioned in connection with Nedarim and Shavuos. So now if he says I'm commanding you using the commandment that it says in the Torah. And the Girsa that we have in Rashi, Eila HaMitzvahs, could refer to the end of that whole Chumash. We're fine. Chumash Bamidbar ends with that concept of Chumash Bamidbar ends with that pasuk Eila HaMitzvahs, and earlier in it mentions Nedarim and Shavuos. So that would be a valid Shavuot then, says Rav Yehuda. Or he says, I'm binding you with the binding that it says in the Torah, namely where the Torah used the word Isser in connection with Shavuos, so then in all those cases it would be a Shavuos Eidus. But the Gemara says Omalei Abaya. But Abaya says to Rav Yehuda, how could that be? The Rav Yaakov Emden says maybe it shouldn't be Omalei because Abaya. He says that Abaya was not old enough to be having discussions in Torah with Rav Yehuda. We find that Abaya and Rava were approximately the same age, and the Gemara says that Rava was born on the day Rabbi Yehuda passed away. So in that case, Abaya can't have been much older than that, and how could he be having a discussion with Rabbi Yehuda? So Yaakov Emden takes out the word lay. On the other hand, that Gemara doesn't necessarily mean that Abaya and Rava were close in age. They may have been some years apart. And in addition, actually, that Gemara that says that on the day that Rabbi Yehuda passed away, Rava was born, is not necessarily meant literally. It may mean that Rava was born sometime before Rabbi Yehuda passed away. And in that case, then maybe it's not a stira, and maybe Abaya could be speaking directly to Rabbi Yehuda. And there are proofs to that from other places in Shas that they may have seen one another. Be that as it may, anyway, Abaya says to him, or just says, Ela hodetoni nabchia. So if you're going to tell me that mitzave ani aleichem from our Mishnah, or a sercham ani is referring to the tzivui, or the isur that it says in the Torah in connection with Edom and Shavuos, what about Rav Chiya gives another lashon, kevelcham ani? If he says, I am binding you, kevelcham, the word kovel means a rope, like you bind something with. So if he says a lashon, I'm binding you, harei elochayov, and then they're also chayav. What do you mean, kovel barayis and iksiv? Never says anywhere in the Torah the lashon kovel in connection with Shavuos. So obviously, therefore, the tzavva, or the shavua of our Mishnah, doesn't have to refer to where the Torah mentions it in that connection either. Ela, Amar Abaya Hakakama. Rather, Abaya says, no, what the Mishnah means is, Mashvi ani aleichem, bishvua. If he says, I'm beswearing you, and he uses the Lashon of Shavua, mentioning Hashem's name, or according to the Rishonim, who say you don't need Hashem's name, then it just means he's saying a Lashon of Shavua. Mashvi ani aleichem, and he's using a Lashon of Shavua. Or Mitzava ani aleichem, bishvua. He uses the word Mitzava, and he adds the word Shavua. Or the name of Hashem. Oser chamani b'shvua would be also, oser chamani means the word b'shvua. Kevel chamani b'shvua. So in each case, he uses the word b'shvua, and he uses, according to the Rishonim, who say that you need to use Hashem's name. Then he uses Hashem's name, according to the Rishonim, who say that it's enough to, the Rashba says that it's enough to say the Lashon Shvua. Then that would be enough, so it means he actually says the Lashon b'shvua. So that's what the Mishnah means then, and that's what Reb Chiya means by adding the word kevelchem, means that means where the word oisarchem or mashbiachem or whatever would not be enough. There has to be a lashon of shvua involved with it as well. All right, the Mishnah had said that you can have various names of Hashem or various names of kinuyim of Hashem that work for this purpose, whether actual names of Hashem like Yudke, Vovke, or Elikim, or Shakai, or whatever, or Tzvokos, or we had also kinuyim like Chanun, Verachim, or whatever. So the Mishnah said, Be'alaf Dalet, Be'yudke, Be'shakai, Be'tzvokos, Be'chanun, Verachim, Be'rachapayim, Be'rachesed, all of those would constitute a valid shvua. So we want to ask, remember the Chanun, Verachim, Shemus, Ninu. So you're telling me that Chanun, Verachim are considered full-fledged names of Hashem, but they're not. Or Rumini, we have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Yes, Shemus Shenim Chokin, there are names of Hashem that can be erased, the Yes, Shemus Shenim Chokin, and there are names of Hashem that cannot be erased, because the Torah says you should destroy all vestiges of Avodah Zarah. And then it says, Vaisasim Kein Hashem Alekechem, do not do that to Hashem, from which we learn that you're not allowed to erase names of Hashem or destroy other things of Kedusha. The Braita says there are certain words that are actual names of Hashem, and they have so much kedusha that they can't be erased. And that would also mean, for example, a sofer, let's say, is writing a sefer Torah and makes a mistake and writes one of these names where it doesn't belong, then he wouldn't be allowed to erase it. So the Braita says, Elohim Shemus Shainin Nuchakim, what are the names of Hashem that cannot be erased? These are actual names of Hashem. You're going Kael, Elekecha, Elekim, Elekechem. The Vilna Gaon, actually, Hagoyes Hagra, takes out the word Elekecha, because that's not really a chiddush, that's the same as Elekim. So he puts in the word Eleka over there. And they're saying, yeah, that has the din of a name of Hashem as well. Anyway, Elekim, Elekechem, Ekia, Asha, Ekia, Aleph, Dalad, the Yud Kei. So Yud K means Yud K Vav K, but it also includes Yud K by itself, is also a name of Hashem. Shakai, Tzvokos, Harela, and in Mechokin, all of those names cannot be erased. Alpi Kabbalah, each of them is associated with a different one of the spheres, but Bechlal, those are the names of Hashem that cannot be erased. Depending on how you list them, depending, for example, whether you count Elekim and Elekecha and Elekechem as separate names, for example, or not, then you have the post can talk about either 7 or 10 names, which of course fits very nicely with either 7 or 10 spheres, as the case may be. Anyway, but the Braisa continues. On the other hand, Aval Hagodol, Hagiber, Hanura, Haadir, Vachozak, Vahamitz, Vahizuz, Hanun, Vrachum, Erachapayim, Rav Chesed, but any of those names or descriptive terms about Hashem, Harelan and Mechokin, all of those can be erased because those are not actual names of Hashem. So we see, in other words, that Chanun V'Rachum, etc., and the various ones that are mentioned in our Mishnah are not actual names of Hashem. So why would they work as far as Shavuos Eidus? So the answer is Amar Abayim Masnisin B'Mishu Chanun B'Mishu Rachum Kamar. Our Mishnah doesn't mean that he just says, for example, I'm beswearing you by Chanun or I'm beswearing you by Rachum. He means the Mishnah means where he says by the one who is Rachum or the one who is Chanun. So then, now, who else is that? Means that Hashem. So in the name of Hashem, who is called Chanun or who is called Rachum? Omalei Rava. So Rava says, Yehochi. Well, if so, what about the Mishnah had said, Vashemayim Va'aretz Nami? Then the Mishnah had said that if he says Vashemayim Va'aretz is not considered a valid Shavua, well, why not? By the same logic, it can mean, but Misha Shemayim Va'aretz Shalai Kama. It can mean the one to whom heaven and earth belong. And yet the Mishnah had said that it doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, Vachi Hashta, what kind of a comparison is that? Chosem, when it comes to Chanun V'Rachum, Kirin Deleka Midyachrina, the Ikri Rachum V'Chanun, the only one who can really truly be called Rachum V'Chanun is Hashem. So Vadim, Mishu Chanun, Vadim Mishu Rachum Kama. So of necessity, when the Mishnah said Chanun V'Rachum, it means that the one who is Chanun or the one who is Rachum, and therefore that works as a Shavuah. But when it says Shemayim Va'aretz came into Ikka Shemayim Va'aretz, the fact is Shemayim Va'aretz exists, and when you mention Shemayim Va'aretz, you're not necessarily referring to the one who created them. So not necessarily, but Shemayim Va'aretz Kama just means in the heaven and the earth, and that's not a valid shvur because the heaven and the earth are not Hashem and they're not kinuyim for Hashem. So the Mishnah is mentioning Chanun V'Rachum, and it means. And the Mishnah is saying, when he means the Mishu Rachum, the Mishu Chanun, when he means Hashem, who is merciful, Hashem, who is kind, and that's a valid Shavuah. Okay, having talked about the din of which names of Hashem you can and can't erase, so there's something more that digresses over here to bring more on that topic of what names of Hashem can and can't be erased. So turn it up on him. Because of Aleph Lamed Me'elekim, if a person intended to write the whole name of Elekim, and he wrote the letters Aleph Lamed, or Yudke Me'Hashem, or he writes Yudke from Yudke Vavke, so those by themselves are names of Hashem, Hareza Eina Nimchak, then you're not allowed to erase those, because those themselves are names of Hashem all by themselves. On the other hand, Shin Dalad Mishakai, Aleph Dalad Me Adnai, Tzadik Beis Mitzvokis. On the other hand, if you wrote just those letters of any of those words, Hareza Nimchak, then those you're allowed to erase because those are not yet names of Hashem. Shin Dalad by itself is not Shin Dalad Yod, and the same thing with each of the others. Tosfos brings a Gilsa. That no, even when it comes to the name Adnai, even if you write Aleph Dalad, Tosfos brings from on Omar Aleph from Abinu Hananel, that you wouldn't be able to erase Aleph Dalad either, even though it doesn't constitute a full name of Hashem yet. Nevertheless, Abinu Hananel holds that it would be Osir. Tosfos wonders what the difference is, and maybe the reason is because Adonai is more of a personal name of Hashem, more so than Ezra. It's not really, it's not the most personal name. That would be Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, but still Adonai has is maybe on a higher level because we use it to pronounce Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. So maybe therefore you can't erase Aleph Dalet either. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says, never mind, Tzadik Beis from Tzvokas. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Tzvokas Kula Nimchak. Rabbi Yossi says you could erase even the entire word Tzvokas. It's not considered a name of Hashem, says Rabbi Yossi, Shalom Nikra Tzvokas Elal Shem Yisrael. Because why is Hashem called Tzvokas? We never have the name Tzvokas by itself. It's always Hashem Tzvokas, Elikim Tzvokas, or whatever. So Rabbi Yossi holds that the word Tzvo'os over here doesn't mean a name of Hashem. It just means the hosts, the armies. Hashem says, I will take out my hosts, my armies, my people, Bnei Yisrael, from Eretz Mitzrayim. So therefore, he holds that the word Tzvo'os is not a name of Hashem at all. However, Shmuel says, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi, and the fact is that it is considered a name of Hashem, and therefore it can't be erased. Tosfos brings a different girsa that Tosfos brings the girsa should be Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, and the Chiddush is you would think Rabbi Yossi is giving a reason. You would think maybe the Halacha should be like him, but there is in fact a girsa. There are Rishonim. We have the girsa that Shmuel is saying Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi. That in fact, so there's a different understandings than among the Rishonim whether in fact you would be allowed to erase this word Tzvoris or not. Lamaisa, the halacha is passed in like the opinion, not that with the Gersa in front of us, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi, and therefore it is considered a name of Hashem. Alpi Kabbalah, there's the idea that particularly Tzvokos as a name of Hashem represents Netzach, and it's brought that the Gemara mentions elsewhere that like Mara mentioned in Brachas, that the first one to ever use that name is Chana in her Tefillah, and afterwards it's used extensively in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. You never find Tzvokas used as a name of Hashem in Chumash, and there's a talks about in various places in Sifrei Kabbalah and Chassidus the idea that the gilui of this level of a lakus of this particular sphere of Netzach is only in the times of the Nevi'im, and that there was not that gilui yet in the times when the Torah was given, and therefore the Chumash itself never uses Tzvokas as a name of Hashem. All right, going along, the Gemara says, "Tonan Abban." We learn in a Brisa, "Kol Atofel Hashem." Anything that's added on to Hashem's name. For example, you have, let's say, we said before, Elikechem, or you have, for example, you can have a Vav, Vahashem, or whatever. Bein Melafana, Bein Melachrav, Harezen Nimchak. Whether it's before the name or after it, you would be allowed to erase it, says the Tanakhama of this Brisa. Lafon of Kate said, what do we mean before it? For example, La Hashem, Lamed Nimchak. For example, when you have the word La Hashem, you would be allowed to erase the Lamed, because it's not part of Hashem's actual name. Ba Hashem Beis Nimchak. Va Hashem Vav Nimchak. Me Hashem Mem Nimchak. She Hashem Shin Nimchak. Ha Hashem, there's one place in Tanakh and in Yirmiyah where it says Ha Hashem, Hey Nimchak, Ka Hashem Kof Nimchak. So you have all the prefixes that we can use before the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, for example. Then all of them could be erased. What about La'achrav Keita? You have a simon for these seven letters that are used as prefixes. You have the words Moshe v'Cholev, Mem Shin Hey Vav Chof Lavad Vez. You have a difference between them as far as dikduk. The expression is Moshe Moitzi v'Cholev Machnis. Whenever you have a Mem or a Shin or Hey Hayidia before a word, then usually the letter after it is going to have a dogish. So it's moitzi, like it brings out the doubled sound of the following letter. So like, for example, let's say, well, not in connection with Hashem's name, but let's say, for example, consider the word, for example, shekol, let's say. So the kof has a dogish, as opposed to, for example, bichol, then the machnis, then it brings in, it weakens the sound, and it becomes rougher instead. Anyway, so here the Gemara is listing all of the Braise is listing all of these prefixes. So all of those, that come before Hashem's name, they can be erased. La'achrav Kate said, what do we mean letters after Hashem's name? For example, elekeinu. So then, nimchak, you would be allowed to erase the nun nimchak, you would be allowed to erase the letters nun vav. Elekehem, hey mem nimchak. Elekehem, chof mem nimchak. On the other hand, Acherim Oimrim, Acherim, which usually means a mayor, says that no, La'achrav Einen Nimcha, you're not allowed to erase the letters after Hashem's name, Shekar Kitre Hashem, because the name of Hashem already made it holy. It's one thing, you have the prefixes before you wrote Hashem's name, so therefore it doesn't yet get the Kedusha of Hashem's name. But once you already wrote Hashem's name, and now you're going to add a suffix to it, so now that suffix already becomes Niskadish together with the name that preceded it. So Amar Rav Huna, Alocha Ka'achayim, so the Alocha is like Achayim, so therefore, for example, in the word Elekeinu, or Elekeichem, or whatever, in fact, you would be also to, you would be also to erase the Nun Vav, or the Chof Mem, or whatever. So, and that's the Halacha. There's a vote on it from the Koshin of Zemagid that if a person considers himself before Hashem's name, like he thinks to himself, I don't need Hashem's help in my avodah, I can do it by myself, then he doesn't have any kedusha in his avodah. But if he realizes that he's nitpa l'shem la'at ma'achrav, if he realizes he's only appended to Hashem's name after it, meaning in other words, I feel like he's going before Hashem, he's thinking I'm doing mitzvahs and whatever, but I don't need siyata d'shmaya, I'm just doing it with my own kedushas, then he doesn't have the kedusha of Hashem. But mishin nitpal achra Hashem, if he realizes I'm dependent completely on Hashem's help, then therefore he has the kedusha of Hashem, and einu nimchak, he's not going to get erased in life. So now the Gemara brings a number of cases where we have names that could. Now we have to remember, a lot of these names that we're talking about can also be used in other senses as well. The name of the Kim, for example, can mean Hashem, but it can also mean judges. It can be used of Getchkes, Lahavdil, etc. So we have to distinguish a lot of times whether a particular appearance of a name is Kodesh or not. And this has a nafkamina. First of all, as far as erasing it, but second of all, when a sofer is writing the name of Hashem in Sefer Torah, Tefillin or Mezuzos, then he has to have in mind the Kedusha of Hashem's name, so he has to know, he has to say, the Harini Kosev, L'Shem Kedusha Hashem, so he has to know which names are holy and which ones are not. So, Avraham, Delatia, Lenovis, Begivas, Benyamin, Shlomo, Daniel, Simon, this is the Simon for the next few examples that the Gemara is going to bring. First of all, Kol Shemus Amurim Atorah BaAvraham Kodesh. All the names of Hashem mentioned in connection in the Torah and mentioned in connection with Avraham Avinu are Kodesh. That means not just Havaya, but also any time it says Elikim or Shakai or any of those other names, they're all Kodesh. Chutz Mizeh Shehu Chol, with one exception, which is Chol, which is not referring to Hashem. Shenema, where the pasuk says Vayomer at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, when Avraham says Vayomer. Adnai im nomot sosi chen beinecha, my masters, if I have found favor in your eyes, so he's saying, when he says Vayomer, according to this opinion, he says Vayomer, Adonai im nomot sosi chen beinecha, then he means my masters, meaning you malachim, well, you didn't yet know that they're malachim, whatever, but he's saying my masters, not referring to Hashem. On the other hand, Chanina ben Achira of Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Meshum Rabbi Elazar Amudor Yomru, Af Zeh Kodesh, they say, no, this one is also Kodesh, because it means Hashem is speaking to Avraham and asking him, Vayomer, he's saying, Adnai Hashem, im no matzasi chen v'enecha, if I found favor in your eyes, al no savam al avdecha, please don't leave me while I go and take care of these guests who come. So it says before that, Vayera Elav Hashem, and Vihine Shlosh Anoshim, so he's asking Hashem to wait. So according to that, this Vayomer, this Adnai is in fact Kodesh. So the Gemara brings, Kaman Ozla Ha De Omer of Yehuda Amar Rab, which of these opinions fits with what Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rab, Dolach Nosus Ochen Yosem Akbolos Pene Shechina, welcoming guests is even greater than greeting the Shechina, and because we see that Avraham asks the Shechina to wait while he takes care of the guests, Kaman Ka Isa Azdug, that would be like that pair of Chachamim, Chanina, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, in the name of Rabbi Elazar Amudori, that they hold that name is Kodesh, meaning that Avraham is asking Hashem to wait while he serves the Urchim, as opposed to, according to the first opinion, it's Avraham asking the Malachim to please not run away, but rather to stay and let him serve them. Marshall talks about that actually, if it was addressed to the Malachim, first of all, then you would expect it to say Adoni with a chiruk, which would mean my master. where when we use the word Adoy and then Noi with the comets, then usually it refers to Hashem. But here you could say it means a plural, but Chanina, Ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah are saying that no, it refers to Hashem, and Hashem is regularly referred to in the plural because he has all the power in the world at his disposal, all the many different powers in the world, and therefore Hashem is referred to in plural. Okay. And that's the halacha, that name is considered Kodesh. There are Meforshim on the Pasuk, Rashi himself on the Pasuk, and other Meforshim talk about that on Pashtus of the Pasuk. It can mean Choyl, it can be referring to the Malachim, but the La Halacha, when a Sofer writes it, he has in mind Hashem's name. Okay, next. Kol Shemus Amurim Beloit Choyl. All the names of Hashem mentioned in connection with Loit are mundane, meaning they don't refer to Hashem, they refer to the Malachim. Chutz Mizeh, with the true Kodesh, with the one exception of a name which is Kodesh. Namely, Shinema, the Posit says, when the Malachim are taking him out of Sodom, Vayomer Loit Aleihem, Al No Adnai, he says to them, please know Adnai. Now, on the face of it, you would think Adnai means he's referring to them, my masters, the Malachim. But no, the Gemara is explaining that it refers to Hashem. He continues, Hine No Matza Abda Chochen Be'enachav Agamem, behold, your servant, meaning I, have found favor in your eyes, and he pleads to be allowed to run away to Tsoya rather than having to run to the mountains, as he'd been told. He continues that you helped me lahachias as nafshi. He says to keep me alive. Now the mishi yeshviyada the homus of lahachias. So therefore, it means he's addressing the one who has the ability to kill and to bring alive Zakaris Baruch Hu, namely Hashem. So in other words, we have to divide the pasuk. Vayomer Loit Aleihem, the Loit says to them, the Malachim, but he's not speaking to them. He's saying in their hearing, he says, Al No Adnai, he speaks to Hashem, please know Hashem, don't make me run away to the mountain, which is where Avram lives, etc. Let me run away instead to the city of Tsoya because it's newer and the Averis there haven't been filled up yet. So the Adnai over there is referring to Hashem. Now, what do we mean, Kol Shemus? You have a name Havaya mentioned in connection with Loit. So obviously that refers to Hashem. So obviously we have to be talking about the names Aleph Dalad, the names Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. Well, there's really only two of them. There's one at the beginning where Loit sees the Malachim and he says, Hine no Adonai Suruno. He says to them, please, my masters, come and go a roundabout way to my house. So therefore, obviously, that one is referring to the Malachim, but if there's only this one other one, we mean Kol Shemus, we only have three names, and one of them, Havaya, is obviously not in question in the first place. We're only talking about the ones, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod, and there are only two of them. So Marsha wonders about that. Before she answers, what it means is fine. Since the Gemara has mentioned by all the other ones, it uses the expression Kol. By Avraham, we have lots of names of Hashem, and so forth. So that by Avraham, we have lots of names of Hashem. So therefore, the Gemara uses the word Kol in connection with Loit. Actually, Rishonim already say this. The Ritzvah says this. So fine, it's just because it mentions Kol Shemus by the other ones. So it means that even though over here there's only two, and really it's only one is Chol and one is Kodesh. Okay, next. Kol Shemus Amurim Novos Kodesh. All the names Elikim that it mentions in connection with Novos, the whole story where Novos didn't want to sell Achav's vineyard and Achav and Izevel have false charges brought against him, where it says Beirach Novos Elikim Bamelach, that they claim that he cursed Hashem and the king. So those are the words Elikim over there are Kodesh, meaning they're not accusing Novos of cursing their gods, they're accusing Novos of cursing Hashem, which Marsha explains, because even though the charges were trumped up and the Edim were false Edim, the point is that we can understand, the Gemara is understanding it, that the Sekanim who oversaw the trial, they didn't know that there was anything wrong over here, so they wouldn't be judging him and condemning him to death for cursing Avodah Zarah, so they thought genuinely that the Edim are telling the truth and that he had cursed Hashem. Here also, by Novos, there aren't that many names. We're talking about twice where it says Elikim, you have the same thing over here. It means all, meaning even though there's only two. On the other hand, the names of Hashem mentioned in connection with Micha, with Pesel Micha, are Choyl, because it means the Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Eliezer said. Now, do we mean in that connection with Micha? Do we mean even the name Yudke Vovke? Tosfos Udi in the Masech that talks about that. Perhaps yes. Even the name Yudke Vovke that it mentions in connection with Micha, where it says Yudke Vovke, then it would mean he's referring to his Getchke, which he's thinking is in honor of Hashem. That's Tosfos. The Ramban says that's impossible. Yudke Vovke never refers to anybody other than Hashem. So he explains that he just means, in other words, that he says that it means. So when we're saying that they're choil, it would mean, in other words, he used some name of a getchke, and the posik when it writes it uses yudke vovke in order not to embarrass them quite so much, or the other possibility that Amman says that we mean over here the name of a kim. We're not talking about saying yudke vovke. We're talking about a time where it says alekim in connection with micha, then it refers to his getchke. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says, it's not so simple. The Novos Kodesh, sure, by Novos I agree, all of them are Kodesh. They refer to Hashem, they're claiming that he cursed Hashem. But the Micha, Yesh Mehen Choyol, Yesh Mehen Kodesh. But the ones in connection with Pesel Micha, some of them are Choyol and some are Kodesh, says Rabbi Eliezer. Aleph Lamed Choyol, the ones where it says Alekim, are choil, because they refer to the Geshke. The Yudke Kodesh, the ones with Yudke Vavke, are all Kodesh. Chutz Mizeshu, Aleph Lamed, who Kodesh, with the exception, Rabbi Eliezer says, of one where it says Elikim, and that is Kodesh, namely, according to everybody, where, as the Pasuk says at the end, that how long was the statue intact? Kol Yameha Yos Beso Elikim B'Shiloi, as long as the house of Hashem, the Mishkan, was in Shiloi, so there, obviously, it's referring to Hashem, and therefore the word Elikim there is Kodesh. But all the other Elikims are Chol. Again, according to the Tanakhama, it might be that even the name Yudke Vovke over there are Chol, according to Tosfos, and according to the Ramban, definitely not. Nobody would hold that. So the Machlokas would just be what the Pasuk actually meant by writing Yudke Vovke over there. Was it that originally it was referring to Avodah Zarah, or it should have been referring to Avodah Zarah, and instead, in honor of Micha, in order not to embarrass him and shave it down so terribly, sometimes it says Yudke Vovke, or B'chlal, as the Tanakhama, not even talk about the Yudke Vovkes. Okay. Next, Kol Shemus Amurus Begivus Bin Yomin. What about the names of Hashem that I mentioned in connection with the story of Givas Bin Yomin? The whole story of Pilagish Begiva, when it talks about how the Jewish people went to war over there. And it describes how several times it says they asked Hashem, the name Yudke Vovke, they asked Hashem whether they were going to be successful. And twice after they asked, they were defeated in battle. The first and the second day of the battle between them, 40,000 soldiers from the other Shvatim were killed. And then the third time they went and asked Hashem, and this time they were successful. So, Rabbi Eliezer says those names of Hashem in that connection are Choyl. Because it means they're not asking Hashem, it means they're asking Micha's idol or something like that. So those names are Choyl. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a Kodesh. Rabbi Yeshua says all those names are Kodesh. Rabbi Eliezer says, how could you say those names of Hashem? Hashem doesn't promise and not fulfill. The first two times they asked, and whether they should go to war, about the war, and Hashem told them the first time they ask, and Hashem tells them Yehuda Batchila, Yehuda first, and the second time Hashem says Alu Elov, go up to him. So it sounds like Hashem is approving of the war. In that case, then why are they losing? Why are they getting tens of thousands of soldiers killed? Says Rabbi Eliezer, must be the first two times they're not asking Hashem, they're asking some Getchke or whatever. So therefore it has to mean that it's Chol. Omelet of Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you're misunderstanding. Mashiv tiach osa, Hashem promised, and he delivered. Whatever Hashem promised, he did. The first two times, they didn't ask whether we're going to be successful. They did not bother checking. They just said, should we go to war? Or the first time they didn't even ask, should we go? The first time they asked, mi yalalona matchila, who should go first? So therefore, Hashem answers, you want to know who goes first, Yehuda goes first. You want to know, you should go to war, gizunt hate, go to war. But he's not saying, you're going to win. Only Bach, Reina, Shabichanu, the third, so they weren't asking whether they're going to win or whether they're going to lose. Bach, Reina, Shabichanu, the third time, they actually asked, they were careful to ask, Tosfos points out, the first two times, they never asked if we shouldn't go. The third time, They're asking, Ha Oisif Lotis Im Echdal, should we continue to go to war? Should we stop? Oh, now you're asking right. Now you're asking the right way. So therefore, so Hiskimu Al Yadam. Then Hashem agreed that they should go to war and that they were going to win. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Finchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoyan Omin Lefanim Bayom Mahim Lamer. Pinchas ben Elazar was there at that time. And they said, Ha Oisif Oid Lotis Lamachama Ibnei Binyamin Achim Echdal, Vegomer, should we continue to go to war against our brothers Binyamin, or should we stop? So the first time they didn't even ask if they should go to war. It's like they had decided, we're going to war. All we need to know is who goes first. Hashem says, you want to know who goes first? Yehuda always goes first. The second time they ask, should we go to war? So Hashem says, fine, you want to go to war, go to war. Aluei love. The third time they're careful to ask, are we going to, should we continue fighting or should we stop? Now Hashem says, and now the Pasuk stresses that Pinchas was there, meaning now they realize they have to check with Pinchas first what's the right way to pose the question, and now they got the correct answer, yes, now tomorrow you're going to win. So in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying the fact that they lost the first two times doesn't show they weren't asking Hashem, it shows they asked the question wrongly. Okay? The Braisa continues, Kol Shloima Ha'amurin B'Shir Hashirim Kodesh. Whenever it says in Shir Hashirim, the word Shloima is Kodesh, because it means Shir the Misha Shalom Shaloi. For example, when it says Shir Hashirim, Asher the Shloima means it's a song in honor of Hashem to whom peace belongs. Most Rishonim learn that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to erase those names, Shloima. Most Rishonim learn, it just means, in other words, we have to know what the Pesukim mean, and to understand that's a name of Hashem. For example, if you mashviya somebody in the name of Shloima, then it would be a valid shavua. But there are a minority of Rishonim. The Rosh brings from someone named Rabbeinu Matzliach, who says that it actually means that you wouldn't be allowed to erase it. But most Rishonim disagree with that. Anyway, chutz mizeh, with one exception, where near the end of Shir Hashirim, it's Harmi Shali Lefanai, my vineyard is before me. This is referring to the Jewish people, or compared to Hashem's vineyard. Ha'elef l'cha Shloima, 1,000 are for you Shloima. That means Shloima l'didei. That means Shloima himself is entitled to have 1,000 out of every 1,000 Jews, he's entitled to have them work for him. And then there are 200 for those who guard its fruit. That means Rabbanan. That means the Chachamim. In other words, Shloima is entitled to have the common Jews, the non-Tamid Chachamim, work for him, but he has to leave the Tamid Chachamim, the 200 out of every 1,000, and not put them to work. We find, Marshall points out, in other Gemaras, that people were punished, kings and even Avraham Avinu were punished for forcing Tamid Chachamim to work. So now the Pasuk is telling Shloima, you can have 1,000 out of every 1,200 Jews. You can have 1,000 of them and put them to work for you, but the 200, the Chachamim, you have to leave alone. So according to that, then the name Shloima over there means Shloima Amalek. The Yeshem Af Zechol, others say that he was another one from Shir Hashirim, another meaning of Shloima that's also mundane. That means King Shloima, where it says Hinimitase Shalash Shloima Shishim. Where it says here is the bed of Shloima with 60 mighty men around it. So according to this opinion, according to this Yesh Omerim, that pasuk is referring to Shloima himself. That Pasuk had mighty men, mighty soldiers surrounding his bed because he's afraid of Ashmedai. The other opinion says that no, that's Kodesh, and it's referring to the Mishkan with the mighty men of the Kohenim and Levim surrounding it. So the Gemara says, "Af zevul ami boy heyach." Does the yesh omer mean also this? Meaning, needless to say, the first one ha'elaf l'chashloima, meaning that the yesh omer would agree that ha'elaf l'chashloima is referring to Shloima Amalek, and he also adds hini matasi shel Shloima. The problem with that is ela hada amar Shmuel. What about something that Shmuel the Amora says malchusa dekot l'chad mishita ba'alma? If a government kills 1/6 of its citizens, meaning in other words, it actually explains it takes a whole bunch of the people and forces them to work for the government, and 1/6 of them end up dying from it. So Shmuel says, Loi me'ansha, that such a kingdom is not, such a government is not going to be punished by Hashem. Meaning, in other words, they have the rights to take up to 1/6 of the population and put them to work like that. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Kami Shali Lefanai, my vineyard is before me, Ha'elef Lachos Shleimer, when it says 1,000 for you Shleimer, that means the Malchus HaDerekia, the kingship of Hashem, that 1,000 have to be kept for serving Hashem, and Masayim, the nurturous period, the Malchus HaDara, and 200 for those who guard its fruit, refers to the kingship on earth. So in other words, you can have 200 out of every 1,200 working for the government, even if that work kills them. So we see from Shmuel that Fakir, the Elif Lachos Shleimer, is referring to Hashem. So then Shmuel, loike Tanakama, loike Yeshayimim. So it comes out that Shmuel's statement is not like the Tanakama and not like the Yeshayimim. Rashi says we're talking about government service. Tosfos says we're talking about even, for example, an optional war. So they send their soldiers to battle, and as many as one sixth of them can be killed, and they're not going to be punished by Hashem for sending people to their deaths because they did a machos adina. Anyway, so the Gemara says Ela Hochi Kama. Fine, you have to rather understand the statement in the Braisa as follows: the Yesh Omim Zeh Kodesh. That when the Yesh Omim say about Hinim and Tosfos Shal Shlomo, this is Kodesh. They say that that pasuk Ela Flachos Shlomo is Kodesh. Unlike the Tanakama, who said that Ela Flachos Shlomo is Choil, the Yesh Omim say that no, that one is Kodesh. It does refer to Hashem, which is like Shmuel says. But on the other hand, Zehu Choil. Which one is Choil? The one of Hinim Mitosai Shabbos Shleimer, who Shmuel the Amak Yeshayimim, so Shmuel is holding like the Yeshayimim, so all good. Okay, one more example that we have of names, of words or names that seemingly refer to something else, but actually refer to Hashem. The Braisa says, Kol Malchaya Hamur Medaniel Choil. Whenever it says in Daniel, the word Melech or Malchaya, the king or the kings, then it means that it's Choil. So it's referring to human kings, Nebuchadnezzar, other human kings. Chutz mizeshu kodesh, with one exception that's kodesh. And again, according to most Rishonim, it means it's just considered like a kinui of Hashem. You're allowed to erase it. It just means you have to know that it refers to Hashem. Namely, when Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, Ant Malka, you the king, Melech Malchaya, king of kings, the Elokosh Maya, Malchus Achisna V'Tokva V'Yikore Yavloch, Hashem in heaven, the Hashem in heaven has given you strength and has given you kingdom and strength and power and honor. So now, in other words, we understand that the word Ant Malka, Melech Malchaya, does not refer to Nebuchadnezzar. It means, Daniel wouldn't call him Melech Malchaya. He's saying, Ant Malka, you king. Who is it that gave you all this power? Melech Malchaya, the king of kings, namely Dia Lakoshmaya, who is the God in heaven, he gave you all of this. So there, Melech Malchaya refers to Hashem, the king of kings. Some say Af Zek Kodesh. Here's another one from Daniel that's Kodesh. Shenemar, when Daniel is interpreting a dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he says, "Mori, my master, Helma the son of Hofisher the Orach, may this dream with the evil that portends, may it be for your enemies, and may the explanation of it be for the ones you hate." Now, Laman Koma, now who is Daniel saying, my master? Is he speaking to Nebuchadnezzar? He's saying, my master, your majesty, this horrible dream that you had should come on your enemies and whatever. What do you mean? San Usi Maininu, who were the ones who Nebuchadnezzar hates? Yisrael. He's an enemy of the Jewish people. Melech Kalayat Lul Yisrael. Is Daniel going to be cursing the Jewish people? A Medrash says even more, that Nebuchadnezzar hates Hashem. He's certainly not speaking about Hashem. So what it means is that he's saying, when he says Mori, he's speaking to Hashem. Hashem, may it be your will that this dream comes true on your enemy, namely Nebuchadnezzar. The Tanakama answers no. Savor, he says, Soni Yisrael Ika, Soni Ovid Kom Leka, what do you think? Nebuchadnezzar only had Jews as enemies and Hashem as his enemy, not Goyim? So Daniel could be referring to those Goyish enemies of Nebuchadnezzar and saying that I hope that this dream comes true on them. So according to the Tanakama, you don't have to say the word Mori in the Pasuk refers to Hashem.